Welcome, After Buzzers. On today's Luke Cage Season 2 recap after show, we are talking Luke's good fortune, Misty finds her footing, and Bushmaster's Road to Redemption. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We are back. We're talking the entire season of Luke Cage from episode 1 to episode 13. Again, guys, I am Shaka Smith, joined by my lovely co-host. What's up, guys?
What up? Soraya here, guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, everybody. Zia Anderson here.
We just got to jam out to a little Biggie, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It's a dream. Yeah. A little ode to Mariah. Mariah was like a tour de force this season. Nice. And we see that Biggie comes down and Muhammad goes up, but the entire season was really about the notorious Mariah. Mariah Stokes. Or Dillard, whatever
Dillard,
it's like to be. Yeah.
Up until the last three episodes, yeah. It's like Stokes.
Yeah,
you know?
We had a change. But wow, just kind of thinking about how far we've come. We got some great special segments before we dive in, though. We're going to be talking some news. We got some more news. We have a sweet Christmas segment where we're going to share our favorite sweet Christmas moments of the entire season. So hopefully you guys in the chat will join us and share some of your favorite moments as well. But for right now, just what was your overall thoughts about the entire season? Better than season one, or do they have to do some work for season three?
Better than season one.
I liked it better than season one as well. And I also liked the second half of the season better than the first half.
Yeah.
Not that I disliked the first half. It was a little bit slow. I think I talked about it on Marvel TV Weekly. I don't think they quite needed 13 episodes. They probably could have done it in 10.
Yeah.
A really good condensed 10. I was like, like,
where there was
Iron Fist earlier in there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish that, and maybe had him in maybe one more episode.
Yeah.
Maybe just a little bit more of that.
I thought the first half was a little bit slow. I was interested the entire time, but it was a little slow for me. Then the last few were just like, after 13, I was like, wait, is there not another one coming? Like,
yeah, right. Because if they had made you do that throughout the entire season, I feel like, because there were just a couple of episodes where I was watching it and I was like, I could have done without that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I do think it was better in season one, and looking forward to season three because I feel like they have a lot of room to step it up in different ways.
Yeah, they do.
And we have a different Luke Cage now, so we already know who he is, we know what he's about, but now we can see some real character change. But we saw a lot from the beginning of the season where he starts off broke and poor. I would never have thought he'd be the one sitting in the Harlem's paradise. What do you guys think about how that
that I did not see coming.
Starting it off, hands down, didn't see that coming. He started off with the no money. He was basically trying to feed himself. He didn't even know what his goals were or what he even wanted to do. As a superhero, he was just lost. But he did have Claire. But at the end, now I think he has more vision. He knows exactly what he wants now, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And just to go to the chat for a second, I think most people agree. Ivan said that season one sucked. Season two was way better. And ZSB Lou loved this season way better, but Ghost8386 said that he enjoyed season one.
I enjoyed season one. I hadn't really been introduced to Luke Cage before that, so I really just, you know, cool guys, bulletproof. You know? I'm already going to start off with pretty high marks on that. So yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like season one had more struggle, though. Believe it or not, I think the struggle mainly in this season was basically between Mariah and Bushmaster.
Yeah.
But in the first one, I feel like, you know, people were dying, Pop died, and, you know, all the things that was going on socially, and then he had the nemesis with Cottonmouth.
Yeah.
So, I think this one had a little bit shift of who we're rooting for and not rooting for.
Yeah.
Ooh, Ivan also says Luke's turn was way too fast out of nowhere.
True.
You know what?
True.
That's a great point. Mm-hmm. It was one day he was a hero, and then all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to start working with the mob bosses.
Yeah, I wish they would have shown some more motivation behind it. Like, maybe if it was clear that he was like, wait, like, I can get a lot of money out of it. Like, if he just had the calculation, because it did kind of come out of like, whoa, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. I think when he went to Carly. And had that altercation with her.
Yeah.
I think that's when he was setting himself up to be the person that keeps the law or keeps the balance, should I say?
Keeps the peace between the different. I think basically what he's trying to do is he's just trying to figure out a way to keep all of the crime and the gangs out of Harlem. He's just trying to keep Harlem safe. And I think that's kind of...
Yeah. I don't think he wants to do the drug thing. I think that's only the means to an end.
Yeah.
The means is to save, like you said, save Harlem.
Yeah.
But do you think that that's a slippery slope? Because we see Luke talk about this in other episodes with Danny Rand about, you know, this is Harlem, I'm addressing this. And Danny's like, no, like, this is we're New York and there's more of a global world here, so you need to think about what you do in everyone's context. So is this probably going to be a big mistake?
Yeah, power is always scary.
Well, yeah. And also, especially if he's embedding himself with crime bosses, it's easy for that line to blur a little bit of, like, what's right and what's... It's interesting what suggestion will do to change the way you think.
Yeah.
And I would not be at all surprised if he suddenly started doing things that he normally wouldn't be okay with.
Yeah.
True. But he's the best person for it, though. You guys have to admit that.
Is being bulletproof? He's really tough to stop if he does go the opposite direction, though.
Yeah, he's coming in. We're going to need Iron Fist.
Yeah, true, right? True.
But, like, let's say something goes wrong on the Italian coast. Oh, who's better to go in there to set them back straight? He can have ultimate power.
True? Yeah.
Yeah.
What I did think was interesting was that they replaced that picture with Muhammad Ali, and I don't know.
That was a weird choice.
I don't know if the reference was, you know, he refused to go to the draft because he didn't believe in the war, and so he actually served time in jail. Like, you know, took off, like, it kind of derailed his boxing career for a little bit, and so that was a guy that stuck to his principles regardless of what was happening around him. And so I'm wondering if that's what they're trying to, like, you know, indicate, that, you know, he's going to be a guy that sticks to his morals even when things are kind of off to the side.
Yeah, it's interesting to see who chose which pictures when they were in rule. Like, for example, Bushmaster had Biggie.
Yeah.
You know, and he picked Muhammad Ali. I was like, oh, interesting. But now that you're saying the whole, he's a guy that stands behind what he wants, even though, you know, it may not be popular. Yeah. Like, okay, I can see.
Because both in the black community are very well respected, Biggie and Muhammad Ali. True. But then they have different things that they kind of stood for. So I thought that was an interesting little choice.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so interesting. You're so right about that. And that's something that I didn't even think about until now.
Well, yeah, no, but because I see them doing it. I see them just, like, little subtle things that they do to kind of make you go, you know?
Yeah. He was also the best, you know, very cocky, which is opposite of Luke Cage, you know, him being such a showboater. Yeah. Muhammad Ali was, I'm pretty. You can't stop me. And he became the target that everyone wanted to knock out.
Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking more of, but.
Yeah, no, but because even Luke Cage will kind of embraces that, okay, go ahead and shoot, you know.
Yeah.
So did we, for Luke Cage, was this an evolution that you guys kind of saw? Did you follow it closely?
I was a little bit surprised that it went that far. Honestly, I was surprised that he took Harlem's Paradise. Yeah. You see throughout the season, you definitely see his struggle. But I was expecting more of the beginning of the season, like maybe season one, Luke Cage to come back around.
Yeah.
I was surprised that they went that far.
And I thought Clear would be an impetus for that. I thought we would see Clear again. That's a very bizarre to me.
Right, to come back and keep him in line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought they would just...
Yeah, I saw Tilda taking over Harlem's Paradise, hands down.
Oh, yeah.
I saw her
doing it.
She was pissed
when she didn't get it.
Yeah, we got that last scene. I mean, kind of bizarre for you to kill your mother but show up for the reading of the will to claim...
Right, you're going
to
get it.
And claim the kingdom.
And so she might even think she's got a sort of birthright to this, even though she's denying the name Stokes.
Mariah tells her, though. Yeah. She was like, this is your birthright. She does tell her in one of the episodes.
To go back and to look at it, too. Was that in the finale? Where she said, episode 13,
where she said to go back in.
So it's interesting that she told her to do that. I wonder if that was her final screw you to her daughter.
Well, I think Mariah had always acknowledged or thought that Tilda wanted nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. So she's like, even though you don't want anything to do with me or the name or whatever, just feel what Harlem is and what I've created for Harlem, and maybe that will show you some redemption in me, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think Harlem's Paradise was symbolic of just Harlem itself and the pride and the jewel of the city. So she didn't want to leave it to someone who didn't really respect it or necessarily love, you know, Harlem that way. So she had to definitely give it to someone who loves Harlem just as much.
Yeah, I think that's what you definitely saw, that if anything that Mariah did do right was embody that spirit, create the space for music and artists, which we saw throughout the entire season, just incredible artists, known and unknown, that were just playing. So the series really highlighted just really great music.
Just culture.
Yeah, great cultural music.
Ooh, Ivan has a great point here. He said the showrunner put Luke in a cottonmouth-like suit to show how far he's fallen, and he's right. He had that same three-piece suit with the vest. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, certainly certainly away from the guy that we saw trying to make some money somehow.
Yeah, true. with his hoodie.
Yeah,
and it was interesting to see him go from a hoodie and jeans and a t-shirt to a suit.
Yeah, and that dab.
Very un-Luke-hated.
The dab scene and heard around the world.
I saw an article that I think it was. oh, I forget who it was, but saying that basically the creators of the show apologized.
That was just,
it was needed.
No.
It was needed.
Yeah, it certainly did not see from the dab to Harlem's Paradise.
He had to went through maybe about 50 hoodies throughout shooting this, though. Like, every scene was a hoodie, and then all of a sudden it was shots in it after every episode.
Yeah. Oh, Rory Fanzier says, I want to know if you felt sorry for Mariah when she realized that Tilda killed her. Because she did have a moment of realization when she knew it was Tilda. Yeah. No?
I think we're
not after what you did to your daughter, ma'am.
Yeah. I think Mariah still respected her to a certain extent.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, okay, she's more like me than I thought.
Yeah, because Mariah's not going to be the type to say, I didn't deserve this. You know, Mariah was like, well, you got me.
Yeah. I think she respected her. Like, I think she'd been wanting Tilda to somewhat show a little bit of her characteristics. Yeah. So her doing it is kind of like, oh.
She almost acknowledged that a little bit in that final scene where she says, now when I look at you, I see myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that might be even scarier knowing what you've done for Tilda. But Tilda completely embraced it. You know, she knew what she was about to do.
Yep.
True. So. She's like, come here, let me give you a kiss faster. Because you just keep saying stuff that's messing with me. Let me just kiss you now, you know?
Yeah, that was a crazy scene. But of course, now we have Misty. Mm-hmm. She finds her footing. And again, I think it's one of these things that we forget, because by the end of the season, she's very much who she was first season, strong, independent, sticking to her moral code. But we forget we kind of meet her in a broken place, very hard to navigate what she wants to do with her life. And then by the end of it, she's kind of really back to who she is, maybe a little bit better.
Stronger.
You know?
Stronger, definitely.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about her evolution? And was it believable for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She did a great job of that. She had that moment when she came back without an arm.
Yeah.
Mm. And I like where she first was being very stubborn about wanting to get that arm. And then finally she came to terms with it and was like, yeah, absolutely, I need that. Mm-hmm. And then watching her new strength with it and unfold, and then watching her sort of struggle with whether or not she was, you know, doing the right thing and going about her job the right way. I enjoyed the way they went back and forth with that.
Yeah.
True. Absolutely.
The only thing I regret is that she didn't date the guy at the bar. I felt like she needed that little alone time with the guy in the bar who was rubbing her metallic hand. You know what I mean? I wanted her to have a little bit of a love interest this season.
Yeah, she hasn't had...
Yeah, hopefully next season.
Yeah, the only thing we've, like... She didn't really have too many, like, soft moments with other characters.
No.
You know? And then, like, her partner betrays her, you know? Like, so she really didn't have, like, another relationship that I saw that I can recall.
Besides her and Luke.
Yeah.
And her hatred for Mariah.
And, of course, her and Luke have a complicated relationship.
Yeah.
And I think I just watched Skyscraper, but I do love that, like the way they've highlighted amputees and, like, the capabilities. Mm-hmm. And sort of some of the struggles as well. Just remember where she was in that police precinct and said, look at me, guys. Mm. I thought that was a really poignant moment where she says, if you need to stare, go ahead and stare.
That was awkward.
Yeah. I really like that. Yeah. It really bothered me, though, when I think I brought this up before, when her old partner said, oh, your injury makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. How does it make you uncomfortable? Yeah. Are you the one missing an arm? Like, what are you talking about?
But I think it's just the reality. I think people think that or say that, maybe even to people that are amputees.
Right. So, but it's true, though.
Yeah.
Because sometimes your eye just goes straight to that location.
Well, and that's one thing. Like, it's one thing to notice something. I understand, obviously, you're going to notice physical differences with people. It's not something you can't notice. Mm-hmm. But to go as far as saying it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, or to stare or to act as if you are uncomfortable. Yeah.
Like, why does it make you uncomfortable?
Yeah. So I think they added a little, like I said, I think they were really good with, like, little gems about showing just a really... I guess, full spectrum of life and, like, how people have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, you ever seen those moments when someone has something where they now have legs or something, and all of a sudden whatever you say is tailored to what they're missing? Like, can you stand up for a second? It's like, oh, shoot, you can't stand up.
Yeah.
Right. You know, maybe in those moments it's, like, uncomfortable because you don't want to say nothing. You
say the
look.
Wrong thing. Yeah. But then if you just say, hey, let me just treat them like a real person no matter what limitations they may have, and I'll deal with it as it will come, then I think you probably end up just treating them normally. You know?
Yeah. Just treating them like a human being.
Yeah.
Hey, what a concept. Yeah.
We miss that a lot, but I think the show really tried to highlight some of that.
Yeah.
The gay culture, everything. Everything is just so subtle, and, you know, the racial thing came out at some point. Yeah, it's great.
And then we even got Misty. She finally ends up in this captain's seat. Going from, like, almost, you got to be off of work to the captain's chair. How do you guys like that progress? And do we like her there? Do we want her on the street? You know, hitting the doors hard.
You know what? I prefer her on the street. Yeah. And it's really? funny to watch her struggle too, from being in that position, being like, no, I want to go. Like, I want to go out, and I'm ready for her to go out, but she can't. She has to stay behind and be the face of, you know, everything.
But it's like you have a bionic arm. You got to do something. Yeah, you got to do something, right?
Yeah. Lucy's backup. Did you guys enjoy the way she would walk into a room and she would see things placed and she would kind of reenact it? I love that. Yeah. Someone like Monk. I don't know if you guys seen Monk before.
I haven't, but I know what the show is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I love how they added that kind of random element of just like how her mind works. That, I think it was just like brilliant like writing or whoever decided to do that.
It gave me more confidence in her character. Yeah. Like, okay, she can actually see the crime and she would see it basically placed the exact same way it was.
Yeah.
Well, granted, it was just the shot from the scene we saw earlier replayed, but still.
No, but sometimes it would be like a little off because she wasn't sure. She was trying to piece it together. And I think you really got into her brilliance as a detective. Yeah. They really showed that off.
True.
But before we go any further, let's show off some other shows on our network.
Ooh, yeah. Sorry, guys. I was reading chat. You guys have so much to say in there. Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. If you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. You can turn them off. So, hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans, and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Yes, nice. Yes, yes, and we love you guys that are joining us in the chat. You guys are amazing. Appreciate your comments and your questions.
Oh, sorry, I guess you don't watch.
What was that? Sorry,
no, I'm just curious. I guess Sia didn't watch the movies for Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. I did not. Am I missing out on something? This is completely off topic. I'm going to have to watch these now.
Is there a Luke Cage crossover?
The next show. Yeah.
We have Eddie who disagrees. He thinks that he likes Luke in Harlem's Paradise because it puts him in a position to actually do something.
Yeah.
And then he also says just because he dresses better and isn't struggling, he's a villain. I don't think that's necessarily it.
No,
it's more just
the compromise.
Maybe just the differing of his character.
Yeah.
Of where it's leading, possibly.
And I think the fact that he says you can do your crime, just not here. So like he's not a hero. As a hero tries to stop crime whenever it's occurring.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay, you guys can do your crime, just keep it far away from my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where we're seeing like the narrative of a villain. Because he could just pick up these mob bosses and throw them in jail.
And kill all of them.
I mean, he could kill them, but again, he's got his code. He can just throw them in jail. And the next one that comes, throw them in jail. And after a while, they'll all be deterred from being mob bosses.
They'll be scared.
Yeah. And so I think that's where, at least for me, that's where I see the villain attitude coming from.
It's almost like the whole drug system is like a necessary evil almost.
Yeah.
Like as you say, because he could just end it at any moment, but he tends to work through the system as the same way Mariah goes to jail, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden she's out of the picture and 75% of crime goes up.
Yeah.
So he's kind of seeing like it's a necessary for someone just to organize it as opposed to try to end it, you know?
Well, no, if he had gone to all those bosses that were kind of saying, hey, guys, go out there and commit some more crime, he could have just taking them and put them in jail.
Yeah.
After maybe a year of hard work and like having to like really go after people, people would start to be deterred from just going into that business because they'd say, you know what, Luke Cage is there.
Or is it one of those things where he's going to just be constantly fighting this losing battle where no matter how many people he fights, there's going to be more people stepping up and it's just like an endless cycle.
Possibly unless he decides to reach out and say, hey, I got Danny. I have Jessica. I have...
Yeah, that would help.
Like Danny tells him, like, we're
here to help you. Yeah.
So then you find, okay, people are actually deterred from committing crime. So I think that's where it comes from. And you know there's going to be some sort of villain villain is going to say, because you allow them to do crime in this area, they like killed my family and I got to kill you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's always some fallout from making those sort of deals. I mean, we saw that with this entire season. You know, the first deal that Mabel makes, you know, and we get all the way down to Bushmaster.
Yeah. But if Luke Cage all of a sudden solves all the crime and all of a sudden it's just this happy-go-lucky scenario in Harlem, there's no show. So I think
I'll watch him like do
just
some
watch a season of him just
circus shots.
Yeah,
you know, shoot me with your best gun. You know,
he's with Claire all episode, and he just loves her so much. They have a little Luke Cage kid, and everyone's just happy. Yeah, I wouldn't. I'll turn that off.
Maybe a couple episodes, right?
Yeah, I want to see that.
We got to talk about Bushmaster's redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, like I said, we see that those small moves that are made, you know, years later lead to these like ridiculous villains in this story. What do you guys think about his road to redemption? Did you find that believable as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and once, because when you first see him, you kind of don't know why he's there or what he's doing. So, of course, you're like, oh, new villain. Okay, hate him. Well, yeah. You know, not necessarily hate him, but you're like, okay, yeah, new villain, got him. It. Yeah, but right. Mm-hmm. But then as his story goes on more and you find out more and more of why he's there, he's so easy to sympathize with.
Yeah.
He has such a sad story. And you understand, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with his methods, but you absolutely understand why he's doing what he does.
True.
But if he never came for Mariah, she would be gone. She would have gone with the money. Like, if he never came from Mariah, Mariah would have been gone with the money, and her and Sage would be having some great time.
Do you think so, or do you think that they would have come back to Rick? Because, you know, they do have real ties to Harlem and Harlem's Paradise. I mean, Shades wanted it.
I think if it was no Bushmaster, it still wouldn't have ended up in this happily ever after moment. Something would have happened. There would have been some type of conflict there.
It just felt like at the top of the season, Mariah wanted to go legal. She wanted to be out of this, which is so ironic. Like, she was like, get out. You know, smart move now is to get out of this business while we can, clean the money and go.
Mm-hmm.
So quite the arc.
Yeah, I think it's what happened, because you have to think of in terms of Shades. Shades wasn't going to let that place go. So maybe the clash would have been between them earlier. Maybe he would have, you know, done something to betray her sooner. But I don't think it was just would have been an easy cut. No way. With that much money on the table, I think something would have happened. Maybe it would have been a situation where she would have did the deal, but the guy would have came and blackmailed her or something.
Something would have gone awry.
I feel like it's one of those things where she may have said she wanted to get out and go legit, but I don't know.
I mean, again, I don't know if it's her or Alfred Woodard, but I believed her, right? Like, at the beginning of the season, I was like, she clearly wants to be out of this business, you know?
Yeah.
We find Bushmaster kind of pushes her back in.
Yeah, that's true. Eddie has a good point in here. Bushmaster became more sympathetic, sure, but he was still quite chaotic. Yeah, absolutely. He was still a mess.
At the very end, he's still like, Mariah Stokes must die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Zias said, at least Marvel learned from their mistakes to not kill Bushmaster like they killed Killmonger and Cottonmouth. Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad they kept him alive.
Yeah.
Because now he has the ability to pop back in.
Exactly.
He's a great villain for that.
I think I'm hoping we see him again for sure.
Yeah.
Did they die in the comics?
Who, Cottonmouth?
Cottonmouth and...
Yeah, as far as I remember, yes.
Okay, so, like, they're staying in tune with the comics, pretty much, yeah.
And we also have, I guess, the evolution of Mariah and Shades' love affair.
Mm.
You know, they start off so hot and heavy. Like, they really wanted to let the viewer know these two are together.
Yes.
At times I had to look away, but it was all right.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy the make-out scenes too much.
Not so much.
So, what do you guys think about... Did you believe the relationship? Did you believe in the love in the beginning, and did you believe it in the end?
I don't know if I know, I'm like the only one. I don't know if I believed it ever. I definitely didn't believe it at the beginning. Maybe I believed it a little bit more when he went in to see her and said, I love you still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I definitely believed her less. I think she was using Shades more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they were both using each other.
Yeah.
But I still think that she was so dismissive of him. Even when, I forget exactly what episode it was, when they were talking about cutting a deal with her, and they were like, what about Shades? And she's like, Shades can take care of him. So like, whatever. Yeah. He'll be fine. She wasn't too worried about him then.
I feel like Shades was replaceable in Mariah's heart, but Mariah wasn't necessarily replaceable in his heart.
Yeah.
He saw her as his venture out of the hood. That was his ticket to classier life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not dressing like the quote-unquote thug. He's like, you put on the suits, you know. It's other ways to get money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she loved him as much as she can love, you know. I really think she was like, I can tolerate you, you're nice to kiss, and you're loyal, and you're loyal.
Yeah.
And that's one thing Mariah will always love is loyalty. Mm-hmm. So if you're loyal to her, she's going to love you as much as she can love. That's going to be the type of love she has for you.
However, her assistant was incredibly loyal to her, and she killed him with no problems.
Yeah.
And that was so stupid, though.
Oh, I felt so bad for him.
Yeah, I don't feel like anyone was going to testify against her like that. Not you know,
him
it was
anyway.
Unnecessary.
Mariah leaves no stone unturned.
Eddie said it was a relationship of convenience. Mm. Agreed.
Yeah.
I personally agree. Yeah.
So... like, I think we can all agree on that one. But let's get into our special segments. We have our sweet Christmas moments.
Ooh.
Oh. I thought we had a little drop.
There it is.
Yeah, we got our sweet Christmas moments. So what was your like sweet Christmas moment from the season?
So many. The three heads on the spike. Ooh, yeah. When she opens up the
that was Christmas.
There it is.
Yes. Perfect.
He's like, I'm redeemed myself. Boom.
Perfect.
Yeah, three heads on a spike was a shocker, for sure. That was my sweet Christmas moment, or one of them for sure.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I had two. Hmm. I think a couple. I mean, yeah. That first of all, I was like, the Iron Fist and Luke Cage team up.
Yeah.
And they did the patty cake.
Yeah.
Loved it. That was awesome.
Man. Sweet Christmas.
Yes.
Thanks, Tony. This is from Tony in the booth. Mm-hmm. And I also really loved the Bushmaster Iron Fist. I mean, not Bushmaster Iron Fist. Bushmaster Luke Cage team up.
Yeah.
That one also, for me, it was the team ups. I don't know why I love team ups so much. When people work together, I'm like, this is so great.
Teamwork.
Yeah. So those are definitely my two favorites of the season.
Wow. I'm surprised I got to escape with this one, but Piranha's head in the fish tank?
I was just thinking that.
Oh, man.
Sweet Christmas.
That was a sweet. I was like, I think I might have said Sweet Christmas not watching. Yeah. I was like, oh, man.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that was a crazy moment. For the people in the chat, we would love to hear what your Sweet Christmas moments were.
Can I have one more?
Yeah, of course.
When I saw Mariah kiss Shades, I was like, whoa. Oh. That's the part that I was like, this is going to be an unordinary season. Yeah, Sweet Christmas, sweet whatever.
Sweet Christmas.
Said great choices. Ivan says Sweet Christmas moments is all of Piranha. He was great.
Yeah, he was good.
He was good.
Start to finish. And then we got some news.
We do, yeah. We're talking about, I think it was...
AfterBuzz TV News.
We did a little research after one of you guys tipped us off in the chat about Claire.
Tipped us off in the chat about Claire, so I had to look it up. And she did, in fact, say that she is honestly not sure if she's going to return. She said she had a daughter in high school and doesn't want to be 3,000 miles away filming. Aww. So there was nothing definitive...
Yeah.
Saying that she wasn't going to come back, but it's sounding like maybe not.
But I feel like I'm excited about that. She said her daughter's in high school. Because I feel like in high school, you'd be like, Mom, go film. I want to watch you more on the show.
Yeah.
You know, when you're like, when it's like really small and, you know, you feel like you need to be there. I'm like, high school's kind of like, you're an adult.
Well, I feel like high school's also whenever kids, I mean, a lot of kids anyway, go through that phase of like, I don't need you, parent.
Yeah.
Please get away from me.
And I'd rather see you on Luke Cage. Like, please go film.
Yeah.
So, but kids are like, their highest of, what do you call it? I don't want to say the B word, but they're very kind of needy, not really needy, but rude at the teenager phase.
Yeah.
I can see her fighting when her mom is like, you're never there for me. I can see that
starting
to form in her teenage years.
True.
As in her adolescence, she probably don't remember as much, but she probably can feel it more as a teenager.
Well, I don't know. Hopefully we get her back. It's Rosario Dawson. So if you guys want to tweet Rosario and say how much you love her work and can't wait to see her in season 3, go for it. Hopefully we'll get her back.
Yeah. Hang out with your kid in college.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll
get
plenty of time. Good to go. We're horrible advice. We're giving terrible advice.
Right. And of course, we have another segment. And we were thinking about this one. We were saying, how many characters have died this season? So we're going to see if we can name all the characters that have passed away that we've lost in Luke Cage this season.
Yeah, so we're going to take another hour to do this.
So we should be looking things up. What else? Who else died? Def Piranha already.
Oh, yeah,
like
we got
you
Piranha.
Said. Yeah.
The three heads on the stake, which was
Cockroach, right?
Yeah,
Mark Higgins.
Yes, Mark Higgins.
And who's
and then the
third
woman beater.
One? That was Cockroach.
Yeah,
that was Cockroach. And then there was Detective Rittenhour.
Yes, Rittenhour. Yeah,
and then Comanche.
Comanche died. And then I guess the entire crew at the end.
A whole room full of people.
We got, and of course Mariah's the Rumpunch Rampage.
Mm-hmm.
Mariah dies.
The lieutenant. The captain.
Rittenhour.
Mm-hmm. It's him.
And maybe what, 10 to 12 people were in that rampage?
Yeah.
And then we saw the death of, we saw the Bushmaster's mom die.
Mm-hmm.
We had some more deaths there, didn't we?
I feel like we did, yeah. They tried to kill Bushmaster. That was one.
His uncle died, which was very shocking. That hurt, for sure. Everyone at that whole restaurant passes away.
Yeah.
Which is weird to me, because Shades were blaming Mariah for doing it, but he had the gun. You guys didn't think about that?
Well,
he was saying how...
There are rules. You can't have an insurrection in the middle of a rampage. You can't be like, and start having some moral quandary and start questioning it while the rampage is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you saw him do it, and he kind of had to pull back.
But they were unarmed. He could have just said, now, learn your lesson, guys, and then bagged out.
No.
They were unarmed. Everyone in the restaurant.
But then you're going to go to jail. It's called witnesses. What do you mean? Yeah, learn your lessons, guys.
Yeah.
No. But what do you think was going to happen?
I don't think he thought she would like maybe do something with one or two people. I don't think he thought she was going to kill everyone.
He thought she was going to use the uncle for leverage.
Yeah.
That was the whole point. And that's why Sugar backed out, because on the way there, he's like, dude, this does not feel right. He's like, we're marching this man down the street to a restaurant full of people. Nah. You can't go in there. And you're right. You can't go in there and just kill one person.
Yeah.
Because then everybody else sees that.
And we did forget to shout out to Sugar's wife, who apparently has saved Sugar. So Sugar's still with us in season two because of the generosity of his wife towards Mariah.
And the clothes didn't fit well. She was like, oh, these threads. You know?
She hated them because they were too poor for her.
But did you guys think that was an interesting or weird choice that she shows compassion in this moment? Like, we always think she's gone, right? It's too far gone. But that was what touched her.
She still has love in her heart, I feel as though.
But like,
she saves her daughter, the one that she so say doesn't even love or never knew how to love.
And I just, I agree. I think it's odd that she did that, especially because she killed her assistant, who not only did she have a thing, like she was about to sleep with him, but also he did so much for, to talk about loyalty. He was probably one of the most loyal ones, and without a second thought. I mean, her daughter even was sad about that.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, I'm mad at Tilda for kicking him out of her shop. But yeah, it was very odd that she spared him. I feel like she spared him so that we could see, not from making sense with her, but just in the story, they wanted him to go work with Luke Cage.
Yeah.
So I think that's...
He needed another guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, honestly, I was surprised throughout the entire season that they didn't have more people coming to want to work with him.
Who wants to work with Luke Cage? He's bulletproof. I'm not.
I'll be the analyst in the booth. I was kind of surprised he didn't have one of those,
Yeah, you do get a lot of superheroes where the one is in the booth and they got the technology and they let him know what to do. Yeah, that would be nice for Luke Cage.
Cool. He needs it.
He needs it, buddy.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think we got that with Danny, and I think that's why we liked seeing him with Danny, just because they had a little brotherhood, even when they would see not eye to eye.
But he wasn't necessarily loyal, because he let the video go viral, basically of showing him getting beat up by
Bushmaster.
No, I'm talking about Danny Rand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm saying I love that he kind of had a buddy now to talk to and bounce stuff off of. And even though they didn't see eye to eye, it was still this nice, playful camaraderie.
Yeah, and that was the point, that they're so different and that they have different views and they're such different characters, but they're still best friends.
And they could even fight. And Luke and Danny could show him, hey, this is why you're fighting incorrectly. So I love that part of the season. We got to talk about our crazy, crazy predictions for next season. I want your reach predictions. What do you think are going to be like?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I think we were talking about this in between, where we thought that Bushmaster might come back and possibly either team up with Mariah, or it would be Mariah versus Bushmaster versus Luke Cage. I wonder, I'm not Mariah. I'm saying Mariah.
Tilda.
Nightshade.
I would love if Mariah came back.
Tilda versus Bushmaster versus Luke Cage, because now they're all kind of fighting for Harlem's paradise.
Yeah, I was thinking, I wonder if they'd have Bushmaster come back and join up with Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Because you see those elements of brotherhood between those two as well. We got the great scene of them fighting together. Yeah. And, I feel like Bushmaster kept going out of his way to be like, you are not the one I'm trying to fight here.
He really did. Yeah. You're right. Absolutely. But now he's sitting on the throne of what he sees as rightfully his.
Yeah.
So,
I see the opposite. I think Bushmaster is going to end up with Tilda. I think they're going to somehow have a little bit of a love romance, and then they're going to go fight Luke Cage to share the throne.
Really?
Or possibly another Stokes comes out from somewhere. A cousin or a nephew or something.
Another Stokes.
Yeah.
Another Stokes.
I guess another Stoke rising up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're going to open up this universe a little bit more and kind of not be so confined to Harlem. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. But I do think I could definitely see a Bushmaster and Luke team up against Tilda.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just love their dynamic, and it felt like that's where they could go. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's so many places they could go with this. It's so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you guys are hoping to see next season? I know we talk about Daughters of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm. I want Misty to get with Bushmaster. I'm sorry, Misty. Well, that was a total twist, right? I want Misty to get with
Luke Cage.
Yes.
Luke Cage.
I've been feeling that for the longest time, yeah.
So everybody, that's what a lot of people have been saying. I don't know why. Not that I don't feel it. Or I just, maybe now that I don't see it, I don't feel it. I don't know why. I think maybe because I liked him so much with Claire. So there's a part of me that's like not allowing that to happen. Yeah, I definitely want to see the Daughters of the Dragon. I've been talking about that all season. Yeah. So next season, please, guys, come on. Let's see. I love that Colleen and Misty team up. That's so great.
Yeah, we didn't get quite enough of Colleen, too. We got a little bit, and I thought she was going to be a big presence this season, and then we didn't get too much afterwards.
There may be a little spinoff in between the different seasons of Defenders and, you know, Punisher and all these different types. And I think we're going to see their action there.
We haven't heard anything about Daughters of the Dragon having a spinoff.
No, nothing confirmed. That would be very cool, though. You don't think
they're going to jump in, though? Or maybe a Jessica Jones or just jump into another season?
Yeah. They could always, like, spin off. Put them in.
I would like to see maybe some more crossovers within the seasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, within the different shows.
Yeah.
She did come back with her arm missing, so I think definitely they may play her storyline out more in a different, different series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I love it all. Is there anything we're missing from this season? I mean, there's so many things we could talk about, but... What have we not talked about?
Oh my gosh. I think Bushmaster didn't get what he deserved. I think he didn't get his revenge. So I think I want to see more of what happens to him and where he goes.
You know,
I hope they don't drop him.
Well, I think he's still missing that birthright part of the revenge.
Yes.
I feel like he got the revenge in terms of Mariah. Cause if no Bushmaster, Mariah is not dead on the prison floor. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he'll feel that he got the revenge in that way. But if he's still tied to this birthright idea, then he may come back. Mm.
And she, I mean, someone killed his uncle, too. I think he still just have a lot more hate in his
heart. I don't know if he's processed it all. Yeah. And that's one thing we didn't really see. But remember, the Nightshade kind of gives you a little amped up. But we didn't really see, like, him fully process, like, everyone's dead. That, like, they killed all these innocent people.
Including the uncle. Yeah. I don't know. The uncle, for him, to me, was the same as Luke Cage and his dad. Yeah. I feel like that was a great budding type of relationship. Mm-hmm. And he was, like, his angel on his shoulder.
Yeah.
So the fact that his uncle is gone, I feel like he can't be done at this
point. And maybe I didn't feel process it because he's been angry from like the get-go.
Forever.
You know? So it's hard to go to another level of anger and hurt when you've been angry like at the top the entire time.
For him just to put the little shawl on, he's like, okay, I'm done. After all of that, I just I gotta see what happens to him.
He's just going to recuperate like his wounds, and he's gonna come back.
Yeah.
Although the Nightshade is killing him, so I'm curious to see if that's gonna be something that comes into play later.
Yeah. Okay, they didn't really give us a timeline. Like, is it gonna kill him in like eventually 20 years, or is it like a year or two from now? But he's been doing it from a child. A boy. So
that was a great scene, by the way. Oh, yeah. The mirror of the two of him being a young kid and then him and both seeing the bullets come out. Oh, yes. Nice.
And it was like one of the few times we go away from Harlem. Like we see like a different locale, a different location, a different vibe, a different energy. So I thought that was nice that they kind of had that during the season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Flashback.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the flashbacks. Mm. I always enjoy those.
Yeah.
So do we have any questions in the chat? What do they want to see for next season?
Chat. Oh, these guys are the best. Ivan said the Cloak and Dagger reference in episode 8 and the Luke Cage reference in Cloak and Dagger.
Yes.
There was, a couple of those.
Cloak and Dagger, which you're not a fan of.
Which I'm not a fan of. Which, Stardew in here, I love you guys, are so great. Ivan, quit angry. Zia now with the Cloak and Dagger quotes. I don't mind, guys. You can like it. It's okay.
And again, guys, I know you guys are in the chat on YouTube, but if anyone's out there listening and they're on iTunes, we are a podcast. We love it if you give us 5 stars. Go ahead and rate us there as well and comment, and we'll be sure to check out your ratings and your comments.
Yeah.
Nice.
So... I think we've like about wrapped it up for the season. Like, I don't know.
It's been a journey.
It's so hard for me to let go.
I know. I don't want to. I feel so sad.
Yeah, I know. It's been so much fun.
We need at least 2 more episodes.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll just have them. We'll order 2 more up real quick before next season comes out.
Netflix.
Yeah. But what is great is we have the Defenders. We've got Jessica Jones. We have the other Marvel Universe. So I think we're gonna have a lot of fun with seeing some of these characters again.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to season 3 of Daredevil. Yeah. I know that's definitely coming out. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, sometime later this year. We don't have a release date.
Yeah. What's your latest Marvel news?
Well, that I was looking up which ones are coming out is season 3 of Daredevil, and I think season 2 of Punisher might also be the next one. I think Iron Fist is going to be later. I was kind of trying to look up to see which ones I have to look forward to.
Yeah.
What's coming out. And I think Daredevil is the most realistic coming out next, because also the last season of that was the farthest...
Furthest away.
Yeah, the furthest away.
Yeah. So. In 2020...
Go
ahead. No, go
ahead. I was just going to say, also, I've been scoping out some of the like social medias from the Runaways cast. And it seems like they are filming now for Runaways season 2.
That's
going to be on Hulu Original.
Nice. Yeah.
Ivan says there won't be a Defender season 2. Sad face. I don't know if that's true. I'm going to look that up.
We'll have to get back to you on that because I'm going to cry on that one. I love The Defenders.
Wow. Defenders was great.
Well, if there is a season two, and for all the other shows you guys heard, we'll have after shows right here. Again, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
And I'm Funny Sarai, FUNNYSAYRIE on Instagram and Twitter. And also catch me the 20th Tuesday at 10 p.m. for the 100.
Really great pronunciation.
Yeah, thank you.
And you can catch or find me on Instagram at XIA_LAND. And this Sunday, it'll just be me and Christian on Marvel TV Weekly, holding down the fort while everybody's off at Comic-Con, having so much fun.
Oh, okay. We'll see you guys later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.